Rupert Murdoch's media empire, of course, now stretches across the globe, encompassing TV, film, and online properties. Over the years, as he's expanded his holdings, he's often been met with resistance. In other words, this is a man used to facing down his critics, as The World's Alex Gallifant reports.
Rupert Murdoch's ascent from running small Australian newspapers in the 1960s to his position today makes him one of the great media moguls. So says Dean Starkman at the Columbia Journalism Review in New York.
No one back then could have predicted Murdoch's path. The arc of his career has been astounding.
So you're going to be allowed to go ahead and link up with the News of the World, are you?
That has not been said. The second thing I want to say, apart from...
And there was Rupert Murdoch in 1968, answering a question about his planned takeover of the British Sunday tabloid. Take it over, he did. At the time, Murdoch said that he enjoyed power, but knew his responsibilities.
The newspaper can create great controversies, stir up argument within the community, discussion, can throw light on injustices, just as it can do the opposite. It can hide things and be a great power for evil.
Under Murdoch, the News of the World thrived on the sensational. Before long, it scooped its rivals by publishing the memoirs of Christine Keeler.
They tried to keep this girl's name secret, but suddenly everyone knew it. Christine Keeler, the girl who sparked off a drama of government scandals, spying, intrigue, and even death. On Sunday, Christine opens her secret diary and tells...
Earlier in the decade, Keeler had been sexually involved with a British government minister. She was also sleeping with a drug dealer and a Soviet naval attaché. Murdoch was on a roll. In 1969, he bought The Sun, another British tabloid, and less than a decade later, he crossed the Atlantic and became owner of the struggling New York Post. In an interview in 1981, the Post's then former managing editor, Robert Spitzler, described Murdoch's arrival as a moment of great hope. It didn't last.
Within a matter of 5 or 6 months, we were aware that our hopes had been at best naive, as the paper moved in a direction which we had thought quite impossible as a viable direction in New York City.
As he'd done at other papers, Murdoch cut costs and enlarged headlines. And, said Spitzler, he took personal charge of the first sensational story to cross his desk, The Son of Sam Murders.
Oh, Rupert wrote headlines, Rupert shaped stories, Rupert dictated the leads of stories. Rupert was everywhere for a period of 2 or 3 weeks.
In 3 years, readership of the New York Post was up 40%. But Murdoch's approach drew criticism, especially for the slew of positive news stories about his favoured candidate for mayor. A few years later, similar concerns about improper journalism surfaced as Murdoch bid to take over two more titles in the UK, the prestigious Times of London and its sister Sunday paper. In interviews, Murdoch was dismissive.
We do a very, very accurate and thorough job.
But it's more than that. People have accused you of mean, ugly and violent journalism.
Mean and ugly, violent? I don't think so. No, I just would say aggressive journalism.
4 years ago, Murdoch added Dow Jones to his portfolio, and in so doing, became publisher of the Wall Street Journal. Not all of his new employees were happy about that.
He's one of the most destructive forces in politics, journalism, whatever. I don't want to work for the man, so I quit.
Criticism of Rupert Murdoch has been as much of a constant as his relentless business success. But the phone hacking done in his newspaper's name is different. In the UK, at least, his political influence is under threat. Again, Dean Starkman of the Columbia Journalism Review.
The public is fully engaged in the story, and it is riveted and outraged. Here, you know, we're at a point where it could go either way.
Reports that Murdoch journalists may have hacked the phones of September 11th families haven't yet gone viral in the United States. If that story catches on, says Starkman, who knows what could happen. Still, would he bet against Rupert Murdoch?
I'd say no, you never would. But I would say this, I don't think he's ever faced anything quite like this. You know, we're talking about events that are so far beyond his control.
In other words, this could be the end of the Murdoch era in newspapers. Politicians will still seek favor with the press, readers will still be titillated by the sensational. But there's a real possibility that things won't quite be the same again. For The World, I'm Alex Gallifant.
We have some BBC archival footage of Rupert Murdoch. That's at theworld.org. This is PRI.